Even as the death toll rises, there are many who survive the coronavirus. One such victim is Georgetown resident and author Betty Kaspersky. She'd gone to New Jersey in mid-March to visit her two brothers and her family members, presenting them with her new book, Generations, which contains some of their stories. But after arriving back home in late March, Kaspersky got a phone call from her brother Don, who was in the hospital and ultimately succumbed to the virus. She herself came down with the symptoms and was ultimately admitted to Nanticoke Memorial Hospital, where she stayed around a week before she was released. But her struggle with the virus does not stop there. After arriving back home, many tried to reach her, but she found that she could not talk for long without coughing. Instead, she said she had to keep her attention focused on healing. There were also the many emails that she had received while she was away. She told Delmarva Public Radio's Hal Wilson in an interview that she found the virus had an impact even on that.
I couldn't keep up with the 300 backed up more than 8 days in the hospital, and I didn't do emails week before that because I didn't feel well. I couldn't deal with all that. I couldn't deal with all that jumbled up electronic mail. And, you know, it was very difficult for me, happened to be captain of our prayer chain at the church, and I couldn't even convey, the fingers were getting twisted up as far as being able to type things out.
And even the simplest of tasks confounded her, like cooking a simple meal.
But I didn't really realize how weak I was when I went to make an omelet on that Wednesday, the 8th, and I was just exhausted, just trying to make an omelet for myself.
Kaspersky is also a religious woman who has been deeply involved with her church. After arriving home, she went to the church to drop off her offering, many weeks in arrears, she would say. But as she waited to talk to the pastor, she turned to the heater in her car to keep warm.
And I looked at the car that I've owned for 20 months, and I looked at it, and I could not figure out how to put the heat on. Something so simple as that. It's my car. You've driven this car for 20 months. How could you not know how to put the heat on? And in that moment, I realized that, you know, you have some temporary memory issues going on here.
But even with the virus behind her, life has hardly returned to normal, if it ever will.
Well, I'm getting stronger each day. I still use what's known as a rollator. I can push around in the house, and my energy drops off, still like dropping off a cliff. So then when I need to sit down, and I usually still sit down preparing, even just heating up the Meals on Wheels in the microwave, I get it organized, but then just sit in front of the microwave while it heats up. Same with preparing wash and stuff. I'm doing all those things myself. I am past quarantine. As of the 20th, I am past quarantine, but the only driving I've done is to, you know, drive in place. I have not gone into a store, nor still not walking down to get the mail at the end of my driveway. My neighbor brings it up.
There is also the isolation as she recovers, and she does keep in touch with friends. But there's also a new worry, the virus.
I have two friends now that are tested positive, and one very close friend since college. She seems to have a residual heart condition from the virus, which she did not have. And you never know where it's going to attack. I might have residual kidney condition from it, or, you know, or a lung condition. We don't know that yet. I don't know that I have immunity. Nobody can answer those scientific questions. There's no, I may be fortunate that I don't, but I may have that.
In our final segment, Kaspersky says she does have a new awareness of life after her experience with the coronavirus. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.